You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. A little over a month to go before pitchers and catchers report. So Todd, on the podcast over this next month, we're going to go in depth kind of on each position, breaking down each position around the horn, bullpen, starting rotation for this Phillies team to get people ready for spring training. And we're starting things off with the young rotation, and maybe not as young as we thought it would be because of an offseason addition, but overall we'll work our way through it here on the podcast. I want to start with the veterans, then we'll get on to the young guys and the question marks as far as this rotation goes. But when you talk about veterans, obviously Jeremy Hellickson accepts the qualifying offer, so he's back, and then they go out and they trade for Clay Buchholz. So there's two guys who have been around the major leagues, know what it's all about. How important are they, not just what they can give this team on the mound, but how important is it for both of them to really be able to embrace the younger guys? I know Hellickson did that last year, and just help bring these young guys along and help this rotation as a whole.
Yeah, I think that's an important part of this. You know, while the Phillies were prepared for Hellickson to reject the qualifying offer, and they weren't necessarily planning from day one of the offseason, like, we have to go out and get Clay Buchholz, they appreciate the veteran presence that they bring and Hellickson, and not necessarily even in a day-to-day, I'm going to mentor you, talk to you, pull you aside every day type of thing, but just having a couple of veterans in there, I think it's kind of almost a calming influence, and knowing as well that when they're healthy, they can pitch 180, 200 innings and give the rest of the rotation maybe a little bit less pressure to go out there and pitch 6-7 innings. I think that goes a long way for a young team that's trying to develop some starting pitching. So, you know, it's almost kind of like a little bit of a trickle-down effect. They're hoping that, you know, if Hellickson's the opening day starter and Buchholz starts game two or three, that they can kind of provide, you know, a little bit more leeway, I guess, if some other guys struggle, if there's injuries, and just give their organization a little bit more depth. And then, you know, big picture-wise, certainly they're hoping that both of them pitch well and everything breaks right. Maybe the Phillies find themselves unexpectedly in the wild card hunt come July. But if they pitch well and they're not in the wild card hunt come July, then they become potentially pretty attractive trade pieces.
Yeah, and that's kind of the other level to having those two guys, is they weren't able to trade Hellickson last trade deadline. Then he accepts the qualifying offer, so they don't get the first-round pick for him. But then one more chance maybe coming up this July to deal Hellickson and get something in return, especially because with the new CBA, those qualifying offers aren't quite what they used to be as far as compensation goes for the team. So that'll be certainly something to keep an eye on come July, and we'll see what they can give the Phillies before that. Now, after Hellickson and Buchholz, there's a couple of guys that I think we can classify them as younger guys who are going to be locks in this rotation. Jared Eichhoff, Vincent Velasquez. Velasquez, at times last year, was absolutely tremendous. And Eichhoff good and showed stuff as well. Let's start with Velasquez. What do the Phillies expect from him this year? Do they expect him to be like a number two starter, number three starter on this team?
Yeah, I think long-term they certainly do, and possibly as early as next season they do. You mentioned like he had some really great stretches, and he did, and then like any young pitcher, he also had his struggles. I think a couple times last season Vince got maybe fell in love from game to game with a particular pitch. Some games he would just seem to go hard, and he would get hit hard, and he wouldn't necessarily change up his repertoire during the game. Sometimes he would fall in love with his off-speed stuff, and, you know, he would get hit hard that way. So I think last season was a really good learning experience for him. It seemed to me like you could kind of hear a difference in his opinion of his pitching as the season went on, particularly late in the season. He understands that, you know, if I want to be great, I need to kind of work on some things. I just can't do everything my way. You know, A.J. Ellis was with the team the last month or so of the season, and I think he had a real good influence on Vince. He gave Vince kind of an off-season homework assignment of studying Zach Greinke video, because Vince said, you know, he kind of likes the way he kind of thinks he has a similar style as Zach Greinke back when he was dominating with the Dodgers. And so AJ said, all right, well, I want you to go and spend the next several weeks of the season and the off season and watch Zach Greinke pitch and see what makes him effective. So I'm looking forward to talking to Vince in spring training about, you know, did you do this? What do you think you're going to learn from it? So if he puts all those pieces together and he can stay healthy, health is always a concern for Vince. But he certainly has the pitching repertoire to be a dominant pitcher. You know, it's just a matter of him kind of figuring things out and then moving forward with it.
And then Ikoff, is he a lock to start the season in this rotation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, when there was some concern, not concerns, but then when there were some questions about Hellickson, you know, is he going to come back, is he not going to come back? I remember late last season we were asking Jared, do you think you're going to be the opening day starter? I mean, he really pitched that well. His record wasn't that great, but as we know in today's day and age, starting pitcher can only have so much effect on wins. The Phillies had really terrible run support throughout the season. He pitched really well. A couple games in Atlanta, I think, got rained out. Or, you know, he got pulled up from a game real early because of rain, but if not, he would have been close to 200 innings. He really is a workhorse. They love his mentality. The defenders love playing behind him because he works fast. I have not heard anybody ever say anything bad about Jared Ikoff as a pitcher, as a person. You know, like I said, the way he works on the mound, everybody seems to really love this guy. And while he might not be the next, he's not Max Scherzer, right? But, you know, every rotation needs that solid number three guy, number two, number three, number four guy, whatever, however he's going to end up slotting in. A guy that can go out and give you 190, 200 innings every year with an ERA, you know, around 3, 3.5. And the Phillies think they got that for sure in Jared Ikoff.
Now, if we had had this discussion, Todd, last April or May, we would have locked in Aaron Nola, obviously, as a starter in this rotation. And the second half of the year really went downhill quickly and kind of blew up, for lack of another word. He ended up 6-9, a 4.78 ERA, but he had the low-grade ligament tendon strain in the arm, which is another concern. So let's attack him from two angles. Are the Phillies concerned about the arm and whether or not he'll be ready to go at the beginning of the season? And then B, how much of his struggles was because of that? Is there still confidence that he can be a towards the top of the rotation starter eventually?
Yeah, so one, he went down, he rested, they gave him those PRP injections in July, and they basically shut him down completely. He went down to extended spring instructional league in Clearwater, Florida, late in the year, and he threw. And everybody I've talked to said that he threw great, and they think the injury is behind him. You know, but that's instructional league, that's fall, that's only throwing for a few weeks. But they, like I said, everybody has told me that they think he is fine. They sent him home, went home to Louisiana for the winter. They said he is totally good to go. There should not be any restrictions on him. So that remains to be seen. You know, I've every pitcher on every, you know, a lot of pitchers and throughout baseball have gone in the off season, coming back from injuries, quote unquote healthy. Then, you know, 3 weeks into spring training, there's a little bit of problem with the elbow again. So that remains to be seen. Now, how much did it affect him? It's interesting because even after the injury got diagnosed and finished the season on the disabled list, Aaron still maintained that he didn't think it bothered him that much. I kind of personally disagree with that. I got to think that there's a reason why he went from being, you know, I think we talked about this early last season, like potential all-star candidates. He was definitely aligned to be an all-star candidate for the Phillies. I mean, there's no doubt about it. His ERA was in the mid-twos. His numbers were stacking up with everybody, and then all of a sudden he falls off the face of the earth and he's getting an ERA of over 5 or 6 for like a, you know, series of several starts. So I have to think that the injury caused that. He just didn't forget how to pitch, or just, you know, got gun shy, or teams figured him out or whatever. So I got to think if he's healthy and he returns to form, that he's practically a lock for this rotation. But again, all that remains to be seen on how his health goes in spring training.
So, like you said, those are ideally your five starters: Hellickson,
right,
Buchholz, Velasquez, Ikoff, and Nola. But there's so much depth now as far as young pitching that there's Jake Thompson, there's Alec Asher, there's Zach Eflin, there's other guys. So when you look at all those guys, I'm not going to go through every one of them because who knows when they'll pitch in the big leagues or whether they're not. But of that other group of young starters that may eventually be a part of this rotation for the Phillies, who's kind of first on the list? If something goes wrong with those other five, who's the first guy we'll see?
Well, in terms of first guys on the list, I think there's really, quite honestly, three pitchers you could choose from. It's Jake Thompson, Zach Eflin, and Alec Asher. And then, you know, there's like four guys behind them, Ben Lively, Nick Pivetta, Mark Appel, and Adam Morgan. But Thompson, Eflin, and Asher, I guess if I had to handicap it right now going into the season, I'd have Alec Asher as the number six starter because he performed well late in the season. He missed most of the year with a steroid suspension, PED suspension. But when he joined the Phillies in September, he did throw the ball really, really well. Now, Thompson and Eflin were both kind of up and down when they got their opportunities. Thompson started off really poorly, but then he kind of figured something out in his last few starts and really pitched well. And Eflin, he had a really bad start in his big league debut, pitched really well, and then struggled. But they, you know, the belief there is his knee injuries caused him to struggle in his last few starts of the season. So just going on by consistent body of work, I guess you'd have to make Asher the favorite to be the number six guy. Should something happen to those first five guys, or should Nola not be ready? But after him, I think it's Thompson and Eflin, and I really don't think that they're too far apart or too far behind Asher.
And that depth is certainly a positive for this Phillies team, whether or not these guys all end up pitching for the Phillies, or when they get to the point where they're competitive again and contending, maybe some of these guys can be trade chips as well. But certainly plenty of names to watch heading into 2017. And what's going to be an interesting kind of rotation to monitor throughout the year for all sorts of different reasons. We even mentioned the trade deadline type chips that are in there as well. So that's it for the starting rotation as far as the Phillies go heading into 2017. We'll take a look at a different part of this roster each week between now and pitchers and catchers reporting. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zalecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.